Today, the August lending flow mixed bag. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, working with the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The ABS has released the latest business and lending statistics today. And of course, this relates to lending flows rather than lending stock. In other words, how many new loans are coming into the market and what type of loans are they? Now, the headline that the ABS drew was that new lending to households rose 3.2% in August. And that's seasonally adjusted, and the rise in new lending commitments to households follows a 4.3% in July and a 1.9% in June. In other words, the August number was down from the earlier July month. And then The Economist goes on to say that strong refinancing activity was seen for the second month in a row, while new lending commitments for investment dwellings recorded the strongest monthly growth since September 2016. Now, that's not altogether surprising given the fact that interest rates have been cut now a couple of times, and that means that people will be looking to try and refinance to a lower interest rate loan. So it all aligns with the monetary policy that was executed in August. The ABS goes on to say the value of new lending commitments for owner-occupied dwellings rose 1.9% nationally, with rises in all states and territories apart from the Northern Territory. New lending commitments for investment dwellings rose 5.7% in August, with Queensland up 10.4% and Victoria up 9.5%. recording the strongest growth. The number of loans to owner-occupier first-time buyers rose 5.2% in August. That's the strongest rise this year. And compared to August 2018, the number of owner-occupied buyers were up 8%. But personal finance commitments fell 2.2%, following a 3.8% fall in July, and is down 12.9% on last year. And in trend terms, the value of new lending commitments to businesses fell 2% and was down 5.3% in August 2018. Now, one question you might want to ask yourself is, ABS, why did you start talking about seasonally adjusted data for some of the metrics, but then switch to trend data for the business finance? But nevertheless, the news is that overall lending was up, but actually not as strong as some were expecting, and that there was a bias towards investment lending relative to owner-occupying lending growth, which many people found a bit of a surprise. Now, what I've done is to take some of the data from the ABS and produce a few additional charts, which I want to go through now. The first one relates to new credit flows to August, the original data. Now, this is without any smoothing or seasonal adjustments and is just as the data came in. And the reason I want to show you this is to show you how volatile the series actually is. So this is the information for owner-occupied data. This is new credit flows. And you can see that in July, there was almost a 20% peak. And then in August, it was back to 0% growth. And it's worth noting that if you go back to June, it was down 10%. So we've actually had, according to the ABS in original terms, a 30% swing in a month of lending. Now, this is also true for investment lending too, which also shows that in August, investment lending in original terms was considerably down compared with July. I think you can begin to see a pattern here, and that is after the election in May, we saw a bit of a rise in July, but it's also true, I think this is in original terms, some of that momentum is ebbing away, and that's consistent with what I'm getting from both my surveys and also from my market intelligence from a number of originators that I speak with on an ongoing basis. Personal credit is still in negative territory in original terms. And business credit is highly volatile. You can see there that in May, we were up at nearly 25% compared with the previous month. Then in July, we were down 20%, and now we're back a little below zero. So these original series are extremely noisy. And that's why the ABS sometimes talks about seasonal adjustments or trend, because the data is frankly all over the place. And some of that will be because information comes from banks in a bit of a piecemeal fashion. And also lending flows tend to surge from time to time. Now, perhaps a better way is to look at the trend data. So the trend data is essentially trying to iron out those lumps and bumps. And when I do my analysis with ABS, I tend to look at the trend data rather than the seasonal adjustment data. The reason I do that is because I don't believe that seasonally adjusted data helps very much, insofar that I think this year was completely unusual. And therefore, applying seasonal adjustments from last year or the year before to this year doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'm going with trend data. And if you do that, then the credit flows to August 2019 was up 1.7% for owner-occupied lending. It was up 1.7% as well for investment lending. And it's worth looking at the very significant roller coaster here. Back in 2016, we were very high. Then we went low and even lower. And then we had a rise March, April, May. And it looks to me as though it's easing now back to a slightly more horizontal trajectory again. This is the personal credit momentum, which is also in negative territory still, although mildly in negative territory, whereas previously we saw at least minus 1 or 2% each month. And this is the business flow. Again, very volatile, even with the trend data. But at the moment, business is down by 2% in negative territory. And that's consistent with some of the other research that we've done, which suggests that businesses are really quite concerned about what's happening at the moment and are less likely to borrow or to invest. And now let's look at the trend new credit flows, comparing August 2019 with a year earlier. And here, in trend terms, owner-occupied loans new flows are down 2.5% relative to a year ago. Investment flows are down 9.9% compared with a year ago. Personal credit is down nearly 10%. And business is down more than 6.3% compared with a year ago. So overall, credit momentum is still extremely light. Now let's look in more detail at the housing lending net flows. And I'm going to look on a 3-month rolling basis for this to show you some of the trends. And the first thing to notice is that owner-occupied new builds are down 1.1% and are still in negative territory. The number of new builds continues to fall. We saw that in the dwelling approvals. And not surprisingly then, the number of loans are also down. Whereas the owner-occupied purchase of new property is up 3.3%. But again, it's worth noting the slight easing back in August compared with July. And then we can look at owner-occupied purchase of existing property. And again, if you look, the lending flow is just slightly down from last month. But owner-occupied refinancing is up a little higher at 2.1%. And this is consistent with the idea that people are going out to get cheaper loans compared with the ones they already have. Now, looking at investor flows, we can see there has been a resurgence of activity, although it is still sitting below 2%. Whereas investment refinancing is stronger at 1.9%. So again, what we're seeing is a consistent move of households with existing loans going and getting a new loan, either from their existing lender or from a new lender. And again, the refinancing to lower rates is all about saving costs on a month-by-month basis. Now, let's just look at the housing lending new flows over the 12-month period. And there you can see that the owner-occupied new builds are around 9% down, that new owner-occupied purchases are still down about 5%, the owner-occupied purchases of existing properties is down 3.2%, and owner-occupied refinancing is 0.9%, and you can see that that's been moving up recently. Investment lending is down 14.3% over the last 12 months, having of course reached a very high peak of more than 30% up in December 2016 and January 2017. And the investment refinancing is 0.9%. So the takeout from this is that refinancing continues to lead the way relative to new loans, and that the investment sector is getting quite hot again, not surprising considering all the APRA changes that were brought in to weaken lending standards and make it easier for investment borrowers to get new funds. Now, just before we finish, let me just go through the original first-time buyer data. This is to August 2019, and this is first of all showing the number of first-time buyers who took a loan out over the last month. It's around 10,000, slightly lower than last month. And then we've overlaid that the change in the value of new loans for first-time buyers that were written. And we can see that the change was lower by around 20% compared with last month. So first-time buyers, sure, they're active, slightly smaller number than previously, but the total value of loans that they're actually getting fell last month. So it will be interesting to see whether that trend continues next month or not. So let me just try and bring that together. Yes, there is some growth in lending, although the growth in lending of new loans is probably less than many people expected, particularly in the owner-occupied segment. Investment activity is a little bit stronger than people were expecting, but a lot of it is being driven by the refinancing of existing loans. Now that, of course, has an impact on the banks, because essentially every time they refinance a loan to a lower rate, they actually lose margin. And at the moment, there's a lot of that going on, which is one reason why bank margins are under significant pressure. But the other interesting factor to bear in mind is that the RBA reported that total credit growth was down to 3.1%, which is the low it's been for a long time. And so whilst you can imagine new loans coming into the hopper at the top, the truth of the matter is that many more households are paying down their loans at the moment. That's because they are concerned about the trajectory of the economy and their ability to service their loan ahead. And so the total story of credit momentum is actually much more complex than just growth of new loans. You have to think of how the existing loans are performing and also how loans are being paid off. And I think the important part of the story is loans are being paid down by many households. So the bottom line for me is that the information from the ABS continues to tell the story of some recovery in lending, but not a lot. A trend that is still significantly below overall where it was a year ago. And net-net, because of the fact that more loans are being repaid, the overall credit momentum is still pretty weak. So I translate that into the suggestion that home prices are unlikely to continue to move any higher than they currently are. And indeed, there is more of a discussion now about whether, in fact, home prices have really moved as much as some of the indices are suggesting. Not only has the REA chief economist spoken on DFA, but she has now also spoken on the switcher program and has reaffirmed that, so far as REA is concerned, overall, no house price growth in Sydney or Melbourne, which contradicts what, for example, CoreLogic has been reporting. Now, we'll see how this all plays out, but I don't think there is sufficient evidence coming through to demonstrate significant home price growth or indeed property momentum at the moment. We'll see what the next couple of months brings, but of course, the number of new listings is also well down. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.